Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for joining us on Prime Time. Bharati Jagdish with you on Market View. Now, with more and higher interest rate hikes on the horizon, how should you recalibrate your investment portfolio? And who would have thought that a war between Russia and Ukraine could affect a chicken rice seller thousands of miles away here in Singapore? Well, to talk all about the state of the global economy and the implications of these developments, David Kwo, co-founder of The Smart Investor, joins us now. What would the smart investor do, David?
Buy more chicken, I think, at the moment, and put it in the freezer, apparently.
There'll always be other sources of chicken, okay? So frozen, chilled, if you're open to those, I think
it's
we'll be okay.
It's not the same. It's not the same as kampong chicken. Kampong chicken tastes much better than frozen chicken.
We'll talk more about chicken in just a moment, because it does illustrate a very important point that I think we want to make during this interview. But let's react to what the Fed has been saying. They just released minutes of their meeting, indicating that officials are prepared to move ahead with a multiple 50 basis point interest rate hikes. In addition, they say the policy may have to move past neutral into restrictive territory. What are you making of all of this, David?
Well, I think everybody was glued to the box yesterday just to try and sort of find out what was actually in those minutes. And no surprises, the Fed is going to be increasing interest rates, half a point in June, a half a point in July. After that, it's anyone's guess where they will go. But it is that term restrictive. I mean, essentially, I think what the Fed is doing is watching the data very closely. And I don't think, you know, Jerome Powell will be very happy with that news snippet that you mentioned about Apple raising the wages of its workers. I mean, it's great for the wage earner. I mean, for the workers at Apple, they're going to be getting a wage rise. But that is the last thing that Jerome Powell wants to see, because if the companies out there are going to be raising wages to their workers, it means that inflation is going to be stickier than what they had hoped. Because as you well know, Bharati, you raise somebody's wage, you can't take it back afterwards, can you? You can fire them, but you can't take back their wages and say, you know, we're going to cut your wage by 5% next year. That just doesn't happen, does it?
Unless, you know, you're just playing catch up. I'm talking about the wage increase per se here, increasing their wages so that they can just cope with inflation, not so much to the extent that it makes inflation stickier. That's possible, right, David?
Well, that's a really interesting point. And the point I want to make is, how much do your wages need to go up by? Mm. If you have a look at inflation in the US, it is running at about 8%, 8.3%. So as far as workers are concerned, if they only get a 5% increase, well, you're still falling behind the inflation rate. And you're going to be saying, I'm still worse off because everything is going up in price. But what the Fed is banking on is that inflation will come down. How it is going to come down, I have absolutely no idea. But what other people took away, what really surprised me yesterday, Bharati, was the stock market went up after the release of those Fed minutes. Mm. And when you hear that the Fed is going to be increasing interest rates by half a percent, and then maybe more after that, why would the stock market actually go up? Unless, of course, the market is betting on the fact that the Fed is going to blink first. In other words, the Fed is going to be looking at economic growth in the U.S. and say, if we get another quarter of contraction in the U.S., then maybe it is going to put to one side any idea of having to increase interest rates and say the economy is more important and I can't afford to have the economy shrinking. Then you have this big problem. You have inflation on the one side, and then on the other side, the economy is shrinking. And what is the Fed going to do then? So it either focuses on one thing or the other. It cannot focus on both. And just as you know, previously, it was focusing on inflation and on unemployment. And it was trying to play both things at the same time. And everybody said, that just cannot happen. You cannot try and keep unemployment low and also, you know, try and sort of do something with inflation on the other side. So it's forgotten all about the unemployment bit, and now it's actually trying to do something with the economy and also inflation. And again, I say, you can't do two things at once.
Okay, so considering you disagree with the approach they're taking at this point, what's next, really? You know, how does an investor process all of this and then decide which way to go?
Well, it depends if you buy into the idea that the Fed is going to be increasing interest rates. And if you think the Fed is going to increase interest rates, then one of the best places to look for, as far as investments are concerned, would be the banks. Because as we well know, if interest rates go up, the first thing that the banks actually do is to pass on that interest rate rise to anybody that's borrowing money from the bank. So they're going to say, it's going to cost you more. Savers, well, you can wait for a bit before we actually increase your savings rates, but your borrowing rate is going to go up almost immediately. And today I was having a look at the quarter results from Maybank, Malayan Banking over in Malaysia, and I had a look at their net interest income. That widened. That increased an awful lot. And so what that is telling me is that the banks are going to be benefiting from the interest rate rising environment. And you should have a look around at some of the Singapore banks and maybe some of the other banks around the region. And if you like the valuations, you should really sort of think seriously about not putting your money in the bank, but putting your money in the bank shares, because I think they will benefit from a rising interest rate environment, Bharati.
What are you doing, David? Because you did say that how you position yourself really depends on what you believe, which direction you believe the Fed is going to go. So which direction do you believe the Fed is going to go? What are you betting on?
Well, I think the Fed has no choice but to tackle inflation, because the problem with inflation, Bharati, is that it eats away at your savings. It is effectively just another tax, because, I mean, we complain about, you know, when taxes go up, but inflation is another tax because it is eating away at your money, and you have no control over it, because you put $100 under your mattress. Well, by the end of the year here in Singapore, if inflation is running at 5%, it means that $100 is going to buy you $95 worth of goods in 12 months' time, if inflation persists at 5%. So if you like the idea of losing $5 for every 100 that you have, then by all means, yeah, stick it under the bed. The $100 will still be there. It will still look like $100, but it won't have the same buying power as it did 12 months earlier. So if you want to do anything, you have to invest it in assets that can beat inflation. And one of the best places is the stock market. Another is property. But I don't think you buy much property here in Singapore for $100, Bharati.
Yes, exactly. So considering that, which specific sectors are you looking at?
Well, certainly the banking sector is one. The insurance sector is another. And of course, the third sector is those companies that have the ability to pass on the price rises to consumers. And, you know, we mentioned chicken rice rather facetiously earlier on, but there will be vendors out there who will be passing on any increase in price to their consumers, to their diners. And if the next time you go and you sort of see the price of your chicken rice has gone up from, say, $4 to $4.50, well, that is the reason why. It is because of inflation. And if the hawker wants to stay in business, he can't sell it to you at the previous price, because otherwise he's going to be losing money. So he has to pass on that price increase. So there are lots of companies out there that have the ability to pass on the price increase to their consumers. And generally, these are what I call consumer staples. It's the stuff that you buy on a regular basis. So things like detergent makers, people who make soap powders and stuff that you put in your washing machine. Whether there is inflation or not, Bharati, I'm still going to be doing my laundry, right? And if those companies like Unilever or Procter & Gamble, Reckitt Benckiser are going to be charging me more for my soap powder, I'm going to have to pay it, because I'm not walking around smelling bad, right?
You might switch brands, though, to something cheaper.
You can do that, but you can't.
Right. I mean, if we're being practical, yeah.
I'm glad you agree with me that I need to do my laundry, okay? I'm actually sort of quite reassured by that.
One would hope so, because I do know of people who may not.
Okay. We shan't single them out. But yes, okay. So you can go to a cheaper brand. There's nothing wrong with that. But of course, that cheaper brand will also have to increase the price. They can't sort of keep their price levels at what they did prior to the inflation causing them to actually sort of raise their prices also. So, yes, you can trade down. That is a very good idea. But I'm not going to be talking about the quality or whatever of the soap powders, but people will have to judge for themselves. Trading down is a good idea. It will put more money in your pocket, or rather your pocket won't, you won't be spending as much money out from your pocket. But ultimately, yeah, trading down, I think, is going to be something that many people will be looking at.
Now, the Fed's minutes also specifically cautioned about instability in the commodities market. They cited risk management issues that could give rise to significant liquidity demands for large banks, broker-dealers and clients. Yeah. Your thoughts on commodities?
Right. The thing is, I mean, these are things that the Fed has absolutely no control over. And quite apart from the commodity sector, And we also know that there are lots of traders out there. I mean, we recently saw the price of nickel shoot up ridiculously high before it actually came back down. So it just goes to show just how unstable the global economy is at the moment, Bharati. And that, I think, is worrying the Fed, because it doesn't really take much for something to happen. And I'm quite interested in the fact that you were talking about, you know, how something that happens in one part of the world can have an impact on us over here.
Yeah, and what we were talking about was that war in Russia and Ukraine affecting the chicken rice sellers right here in Singapore.
Well, precisely. And this was something, you know, that a guy called Edward Lorenz postulated many years ago. He called it the butterfly effect. Mm. And what he said was that a butterfly flapping its wings in the Amazon can cause a tornado in Europe. And what he was trying to allude to was that something happens very, very far away, say over in the Ukraine, and then it affects us over here in Singapore. Nobody could have put those two things together and say that a war in Ukraine can mean higher prices for our chicken rice here in Singapore. But when you follow what has happened, the war in Ukraine means that wheat prices, grain cannot be exported from the Ukraine. That therefore means that chicken feed becomes more expensive. And then you have problems in Malaysia, which relies on that sort of chicken feed and the fertilizers, all those things, in order to do their farming and their rearing of chickens. And then it affects us over here in Singapore. So there are things that happen somewhere that we can't do anything about, but it ultimately affects us. And this goes back to my idea of having a very diversified portfolio, so that if you had invested in chickens or chicken rice, you would be in trouble, right? But if you are a seller and you not only have chicken, but you also have duck, then you're going to be slightly okay, because the chicken price may have gone up. Hopefully the duck prices won't have gone up that much either. So you'll be able to survive. And it really is diversification. And I think for most investors today, you need to be as diversified as possible, because you have no idea what is going to happen to your portfolio because of the uncertainty that we are experiencing now.
Some analysts are saying, you know what, just go back to examining the fundamentals of a company. Look at valuations, see if those are accurate, because we've seen so many overvalued companies, right? Essentially, just go back to fundamentals and invest for the long term, and then all of these things won't even matter so much. Your perspective on that?
Well, I agree with that totally. And in my case, you know, the one thing that I focus on more than anything is cash flow. I look at the ability of a company to be able to generate free cash flow. And with the cash, it can do with it whatever it wants. If it thinks the share price is too low, it can use that cash to go and buy back its shares, and then the share price will go up. It can use that free cash flow to invest in the business. That's also a good idea. They can expand, you know, when the markets are relatively weak at the moment. They can actually sort of use that money to go and invest in their own business, or they can actually pay out dividends to shareholders. And that is the one thing that I focus on more than anything, is cash and the ability for that company to pay me the dividends. And hopefully it's the rising dividends. And if it can do that, then I am quite happy to hold on to those shares, because the one thing, you know, I like, Bharati, more than anything else is cash, right? I love the sound of dividends hitting my bank account every day.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say chicken rice, but okay.
I like chicken rice also. I like chicken rice.
Well, chicken rice with a wad of cash, why not? Here's the thing. So what sectors should investors stay away from at this point, David, if you had to name a few?
There are some rather precarious sectors at the moment, and I think the technology sector is being hammered. It's being hammered on a number of fronts. First of all, many of these technology companies, or some of these technology companies, have borrowed money in order to grow their business. If a company has a lot of cash, then I'm not too worried. But it is those companies that have borrowed excessively. And as you well know, if the interest rates is rising, then it's going to hurt these companies quite badly because they're going to have to make those regular interest payments to their lenders. Now, that not only applies to companies, but I think to individuals as well. If you have borrowed money, what I would suggest is to try and sort of repay whatever you have borrowed as quickly as possible, because we know there is only one direction that interest rates are going in. So try and keep your debt levels low, as low as possible, whilst interest rates are still not peaking yet, so that you can be a bit more comfortable. What you don't want to do, or you don't want to happen, is for your lender to write to you and tell you that your mortgage repayments are going up, or your car loans are going up in price, and you're going to have to make higher repayments. That's the last thing you want. So I guess it's never a good thing. But a lot of people previously were saying, oh, interest rates were at zero, so I can afford to go and borrow money. You can't do that now, because we know that interest rates are going to go up, and it's going to be painful. And if you borrow money, you're going to have to repay that money. Somehow, you're going to have to repay that money. Either you're going to have to borrow money from somebody else to repay it, or your lender is going to take back whatever he lent you the money to go out and buy.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, it's not rocket science, but we do know a lot of people still fall into those traps. Yeah. Thank you so much, David. David Kuo, co-founder of The Smart Investor. No doubt you'll be having some chicken rice for dinner tonight, eh?
I definitely will, yes. Whilst I can afford it, yes.
I did it last night. Let's see if today we'll see more chicken rice on my dinner table. Thank you, David. Stay safe and take care, yeah?
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.